Welcome to the Science Podcast. It's February 18th, 2012. I'm Carrie Klein, and this is a special podcast brought to you from the AAAS annual meeting in Vancouver, British Columbia. Do you hear that? That's the sound of a live chat. Our online news site, Science Now, regularly hosts a forum called Science Live, eerily silent for all the communication that's happening between a panel of experts and users who have submitted their questions. Today, our Science Live guests broke their silence and spoke with me about the evolution of the organisms living in one of the most mysterious environments on Earth, the deep sea.
I'm Bruce Shillito. I do my research at the University Pierre et Marie Curie in Paris, France, and I work on deep sea animals and more precisely the biology of deep sea vent animals. And to do that, we try to study the animals alive. So we have quite a few technical developments to be able to maintain pressure around animals so that they are alive for in vivo investigations, experiments.
Hello, my name is Sven Tartje, and I'm a senior lecturer at the University of Southampton's Ocean Earth Department in England. And I'm interested in the evolutionary history of life in extreme environments, namely polar and deep sea habitats.
Great. Now, the theme of your session yesterday was life in the pressure cooker, evolution at the bottom of the ocean. So let's start with you, Bruce. So you talk about bringing these animals to the surface and studying them there. And you mentioned something curiously called the abyss box. Can you tell me about that?
Yes. Well, the abyss box is it's an aquarium, but it's a bit special aquarium because it's an aquarium designed to maintain and to recreate the pressure that you have in the deep sea. So the pressures you have in the deep sea are very important. Usually we are submitted to atmospheric pressure, which is equivalent of about 1 kilo pressing on every square centimeter of our skin. If you go down 10 meters, you now have 2 kilos on one square centimeter. And if you go further down, right down to the bottom of the Mariana Trench, almost 11 kilometers deep, then you have something like a rhinoceros, which is, you know, standing on your one square centimeter of skin. So it's important forces that are involved here. So if you want to bring a deep sea animal back to the surface, it was before surrounded by high pressure, and it is not anymore. So you have to submit it again to high pressure, because otherwise it will not survive very long. So we call it an aquarium because we put live animals inside, but it has little to do with a conventional aquarium. It's not glass. It's a big piece of stainless steel, which is, you know, tough enough to sustain these high pressures we are talking about.
And what sort of adaptations have these critters evolved to live in these high-pressure environments?
Well, they have quite a few adaptations in terms of the molecular composition of their different organs and cells which compose them, which, in fact, are there to compensate for the pressure effects. Because we were talking about just deep sea animals that you bring up. If you do it the other way around and you take a shallow water animal and you take it down, the pressure will also have very deleterious effects on it, and it will eventually kill the animal. So the deep sea animal, to go against these effects, has modified its composition so that you can compensate for these pressure effects.
And Sven, so when, you know, when most of us think of the oceans, we all know about the fish and the dolphins and the whales. I mean, what are some of the interesting creatures and the interesting evolutionary traits that they've developed in the polar regions?
Well, in the past years, we've been studying how shallow water invertebrates like crabs or starfishes so can cope with high hydrostatic pressure, equivalent of the deep sea, that these species do not encounter in their natural depth distribution. And we do this because we know that most of today's deep sea life actually originated from shallow water ancestors following large-scale extinction processes of the deep sea, oxygen deficiency, anoxia up to the Cretaceous period, so way back in time. And one of the most surprising outcomes of this research is that many of these very shallow organisms, like one shrimp species that we studied that lives, well, probably at most as deep as 10 meters water depth, is actually capable of surviving at depth and pressures equivalent of 1,000 meters, were never found today. This reason may, based on some ancestral history, maybe some deep sea species that are related to the species today. But what is interesting is that these species potentially could move into deeper water if conditions change, ecological competition, or, as we suggest, moving to greater depth might be possible in response to surface water warming. So we know very well that climate warming has changed the distribution of plants and animals globally on land and in shallow seas. And we've seen over the past 20 years that, for instance, I mean, one of my examples is always like cod is moving further to the Arctic, and many other species are reported to extend their range distribution into cooler waters to escape warming. And we suggest that this potential also exists with regard to depth movements of species. And that is a completely ignored dimension and will lead to habitat contraction and competition of species going deeper.
So do you think that these creatures will be able to evolve to move at the same pace that climate is changing? You know, what sort of time frames are we talking about?
That is a very good point. In evolutionary science, especially marine science, we always consider evolutionary processes to take millions, tens of millions of years. But in fact, evolution may be more spontaneous than we very often believe, and potentially also take place on human timescale. But not all species will be able to adapt within their tolerances that they show, in this case physiological tolerances, to adapt to change. And there will be winners and losers. And there will be species that might be able to readily adapt to changes and go deeper, and others that can't do so. And that's an arms race, if you want so, that we have to study and watch.
Now, we just finished up a Science Live, a live chat in which you guys answered questions from the public online. Can you tell me, were there any questions that stuck out at you, any that you found were particularly interesting?
Well, first of all, I've never done that before, and I was a bit afraid of the nature of questions that might come up, to be honest. But the questions were really good and quite reflective, given that most of the public has no idea of relationships of pressure with depth. And so that's something that comes up quite frequently that actually affects much of life on Earth. I mean, the deep sea is probably making up 60% of the biosphere on Earth. So the volume of environment that is inhabited by life. And it also appears that the public is very intrigued by anything that goes on in the deep ocean. And the questions overall varied. Some were very simple. Some went into exploitation and mining of the deep oceans, because there have recently been discussions over rare earths and metals found in deep sea sediments. And there are concerns coming up by people that do not study the deep sea but are interested over, you know, do we know enough about the deep ocean to actually exploit it already? And this surprised me.
What about you, Bruce?
And quite clearly, I felt that there is a concern of the impact of human activities on the deep sea. And this is a very good surprise, because I think that the more you learn about it and how important it is, then in fact you should start asking questions about, are we degrading this environment with our human activities? Because we really have to all start being aware of this. Human impact on land and on the surface is one thing, but there is also an impact on the deep sea.
Well, Bruce Shillito and Sven Tatia, thank you guys so much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bruce Shillito and Sven Tatia spoke with me about the evolution at the bottom of the ocean. I'm Carrie Klein, and thanks for listening to the Science Podcast. Check back on iTunes, the RSS feed, or the Science site for more podcasts from the meeting.